afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Friday, the 29th of June, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk with Suzanne Williams about 4th of July activities in Douglas. Katie Busler will let us know about UAS events on the 4th. We'll talk with Beth Bolander about the upcoming Southeast Alaska State Fair. John Hunt will also be here to talk about music in Haines coming up this 4th of July. At Raiders Almanac Music and More today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for today, there's a flood advisory for Montana Creek until 6 p.m. this evening. Rain in the forecast for today with high temperatures around 56 degrees. Forecast for Saturday, more rain with high temperatures again around 56 degrees and rain likely on Saturday night and Sunday. And looks like Monday there's a chance of rain.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Today we wrap up our week-long series on health and wellness in Indian Country. Valerie Segrest works with the Muckleshoot Food Sovereignty Project. She co-authored the book Feeding the People, Feeding the Spirit, Revitalizing Northwest Coastal Indian Food Culture.
It was initiated actually by members from the Tulalip, Muckleshoot, and Suquamish tribes who sit on an advisory board for the Burke Museum based out of the University of Washington. And this group of archaeologists had come up with this database of somewhere near over 300 different types of foods that were eaten in our region pre-contact. And so this advisory board, who are, you know, my greatest teachers, were looking at this database and also noticing diabetes and heart disease in their communities at the same time, and really wanted to translate that database into something that would be useful for tribal communities today.
She says tribal members helped with the book.
And we did focus groups and asked community members about the amount of access that they have to their traditional foods and what are the barriers to accessing those foods. And then my favorite part, what are the solutions to overcoming those barriers? And these really beautiful discussions came out about the way things were and a time of change and what we need to do to mobilize and take control over revitalizing our food sources for the future. And so it was supposed to be a booklet, and it turned out to be a really huge book with recipes and everything. And the book is currently only available in tribal communities.
The book inspired the Food Sovereignty Project, which includes community gardens and traditional teachings of food. Segrest was a speaker recently at a White House panel. Those who provide services and take care of their communities recently gathered to care for themselves. Frank Adekai helped rejuvenate tribal service providers from across the country during the Wellness Healing Skills Training Conference in New Mexico.
Where we come from is from the standpoint of service providers, social workers, mental health workers, law enforcement, judges, community people, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, and so forth. They just give and give and give and give and never really take time to take care of themselves. And so this conference is an open avenue for them to work on themselves mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and rejuvenation, to where they rejuvenate themselves.
Adekai says they don't lecture, but facilitate with energizers, participation, and hands-on learning. He says they stress community mobilization.
This is our way of proactivity, proactive approach, so that they can go home and apply whatever they may have picked up. Many times, people come to conferences, and they are there as a number, because once you have about 200 people that are there, they become a number, and they don't really take anything home to implement.
The conference focused on a number of topics, including trust and team building, humor, and stress reduction. During this week in 1914, Chiricahua Apache artist Alan Hauser was born. Hauser was a sculptor, painter, and stone carver. His work has been exhibited in museums and galleries across the globe. Hauser was a recipient of the National Medal of Arts Award. He died in 1994. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico,
by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
I'm Billy Mills. As a grandfather and Olympic athlete, I know the importance of keeping kids healthy. The Children's Health Insurance Program in your state can provide your child additional health coverage, such as dental care, vision care, and emergency services. Enrolling your child can also help maximize health resources at your travel clinic. To learn more, contact your clinic or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW or visit insurekidsnow.gov.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guest is here to talk about Douglas Island 4th of July activities, Suzanne Williams. Suzanne, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate that.
How long has this been going on?
Been 114 years in Douglas celebrating the 4th of July.
How did it all start?
It started with the Treadwell Mine, and because the miners only had two holidays off of the year, and that was the 4th of July and Christmas. The rest of the time, they were working 7 days and 24-hour shifts.
Except for Christmas and the 4th of July.
Those two holidays. So that's why it was a big event in Douglas.
Big event all over Alaska. In fact, a lot of communities, Seward, I know, and Haines, are both celebrating the 4th of July in a big way.
We appreciate it up here. We have a few new things this year. One thing on the 3rd of July this year, in addition to the Soapbox Challenge trials and the fire department's ball game and the watermelon eating contest, we have a dedication of new bronze plaques for the bell and the cannon that sits in front of the Douglas Post Office. And we're going to do that at 5:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday, July 3rd, with a presentation by Mark Whitman, which is one of our local librarians, has done a lot of research and information that he did on, particularly on the cannon, which was a big mystery to us all.
What do they call that, the big gun?
Yeah, the big gun. There used to be two of them, and Treadwell fired them off on the 4th of July till one blew up. And this one you can't fire off, unfortunately, because I believe it was Mr. Hildebrand years ago welded an ore ball in it because the boys kept throwing firecrackers down the barrel.
Remember his presentation to the downtown library is fascinating when he did a great presentation. I'm sure he'll do good this 4th of July, or actually the 3rd.
Yes. And then on the 4th, we have a few new things. The Douglas church bells will ring in the morning because we were looking up and reading about George Washington's history. And as soon as the Declaration of Independence was signed across the country, no matter when a community heard about it, all the churches, no matter of the denominations, rang their bells. So we're going to do that again this year. We're going to ring the bells in Douglas. Another new thing is that Alaska Coach Tours is doing the free bus service between the Juneau Federal Building and Gastineau School from 10 to 5 o'clock on the 4th. And the rest of it's pretty regular. The Grand Marshals are Jim and R.B. Williams, who've done a lot in the past for Douglas and particularly helped in building the ice arena and also the Pioneer Pavilion and other things in Douglas, so it's time we felt we ought to recognize them. The parade time, again, is 2 o'clock, assembly time's 1:30. First come, first serve, no registration, just show up. And there are prizes. And we have the regular field sports for children down in the beach. And before the parade, there is the fun run done by the Southeast Roadrunners from the Juneau Bridge to Douglas. That's a regular. And the final Soapbox Challenge taking place, the make and break in front of the fire hall. And this year, there's the Barefoot Bouncer Bouncy House down in the field. And the Super Dog Frisbee Contest, and of course the Sandbox Challenge. That will go on at 12 noon. Award time is at 4 o'clock. And the Douglas United Community Methodist Church is doing their deep dish barbecue again. And in front of the fire hall is the hot dog sale. And we particularly thank Keith Giles, Alaska Music One, for every year. He's graciously given his services in doing the light soundboard and setting up the speakers and so forth, and helps us pick the bands that will play the concert from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. And we've got Chrome Forest, Juno City Limit, and Slush Not Snow. So those are the bands that are going to play from 4 to 9, thanks to Keith Giles. The food court will have 13 food vendors down near the ice arena. There's an expanded parking lot. They'll be parked there. And then there's four non-food vendors. So there's plenty of food. And parking is great at the Juno Boat Harbor. And that's pretty much sums it up. And
what about the Sandcastle competition? Is the Tide cooperating with the Sandcastle competition this year?
It's from 12 noon to 4 o'clock, depending on the tide. And again, you contact Gerald at 586-3552.
Can you talk a little bit about the Soapbox Challenge, please?
Soapbox Challenge is being run by the Juno Dipsticks, and great thanks to them. And the contact person on that is Hugh Dilbeck, who is Bear Body Auto Parts, and his number is 789-4803. And so they'll do the trials from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Tuesday, and then on the 4th of July, on Wednesday, they'll run from 3 o'clock until all the children have been able to run. And the age groups are 5 to 6, 7 to 8, and 9 to 10. And it's great fun to see what the kids do.
As I always like to tell first-time spectators, for the Make and Break Hose competition, the object is for the spectator to get as close as possible to the action.
You bet. You've got to get some of that liquid sunshine on you.
Can you describe that, please, for the people who aren't aware of it?
Well, then the two competing, well, there's more than one. The different fire departments take up the hose and sees the fastest one who can connect and spray the other one. And that's what the winner is. The winner gets to spray the other one because the other team doesn't have their parts all together.
And the Society for Creative Anachronism is going to be performing in field number 4 at 3 o'clock?
Yes. And so you can watch medieval sword fighting and their costumes and look. And they're going to do some dancing, too.
You mentioned the food court. You want to go over the businesses and that are serving food?
Yes, if you have time. There's Big Mike's Barbecue, Filipino-American Association of Juno, Grab and Go, Helping Hands, Juno Roller Girls, Kona's Pacific Rim Barbecue, North of the Border Barbecue, Slick Rick's Barbecue, Spinning Pig, Taco Grill, The Urban Eskimo, and V's Grinders, and Word of Life. And the non-food vendors are Jay's Jewelry and Novelties, Nail Jazz, Northland Bible Church, and SEAC. And those are the non-food.
And it's also planned to be sunny the whole time.
Oh, we're praying. Oh, are we praying? That's why we're ringing the church bells.
Is there going to be information available online about the events?
Yes. You can go to www.douglas4thofjuly.com, and it's lowercase, and it's just the number 4th, thofjuly.com.
How much work is it coordinating all these activities, or does it just fall into place by itself?
Well, we start usually in April meeting, and we're a very small group. There's only about 5 or 6 of us, and we can use as many volunteers as possible.
If people are interested in volunteering, how can they do so?
They can call me at 364-2243 or Pat Peterson at 364-3707. We also do coordinate, we don't actually put on, we coordinate the Halloween events, that's Halloween Skate and the Ghost Walk. We make sure that advertising information gets out. And then every Friday after Thanksgiving, we put on the tree lighting in Douglas, and that's down in the Pioneer Pavilion. And then we have a skate with Santa afterwards, with Santa Claus and his Merry Elves. And all children under 12 skate free, including their skates. And then later on, the following Sunday, there is Tuba Christmas. Tuba Ensemble plays a concert at the Douglas Methodist Church. So that's some of the things we do. And we also do the flag contest every year, which is always June 14th.
Suzanne Williams, thank you for coming stateside here for a little while across the channel. What's to you special about living on the island?
I don't know. It's a small town, and the view of Juno is absolutely beautiful.
Suzanne, thank you very much for coming by. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Well, everybody come, bring your water bottle, ride your bicycle, and come and have the fun.
In the parking lot of the A&P, the parade was set to go.
Where's the drum major?
No one seemed to know.
It's after 10 on July the 4th.
Maybe he's taken ill.
But he knew the route.
Who can lead us?
Bruno on the bass drum said,
I will. Oh, let's see. This way.
The parade started moving, but we headed north. Just when we should have headed south. We all knew it was wrong, but you go along when a tuba is sticking in your mouth.
Uh-oh. Detour.
Well, the road turned to gravel, then it turned to dirt. Soon we were marching through a field. Took that barn in our stride, came out the other side, and then into a chicken coop we wheeled. Back in town, crowds were milling around.
Where are they?
What's gone wrong?
What a bummer!
But the town couldn't see how much fun it could be to march to a different drummer.
This way. I think.
Then we came to the railroad and we took a left. Proudly we tramped along the track. Into the old B&O railroad tunnel we did go. And we stopped short when everything went black.
Listen, it sounds great. Let's hear the tuba.
Cornet?
Glockenspiel. What's that?
Speed!
About face! Double time! That was close.
Well, there's lots I could tell you about that afternoon. The quicksand and the pile up in the quarry. But the sun had gone down when we got home to an empty town. And Bruno looked around and said,
I'm sorry.
In the parking lot of the A&P, we began to say goodbye.
So long.
Then we heard a, and then a, and we looked up in the sky.
Fireworks, just in time.
So we marched to the river playing loud and strong. We found all the county waiting there. And our brave little band never sounded so grand as the fireworks and cheering filled the air. You will hear comments made about the missing parade, but for me, the best day of the summer was the magical 4th when Bruno turned north and we marched to a different drummer.
Of Tom Chapin from his album, what was the name? Billy the Squid, that's the name of the CD.
It's all about 4th of July.
Oh, just some weather news here, and before we get to the interview with Kate Butler from the University of Alaska Southeast, the flood advisory for Montana Creek has been canceled for the rest of today. Still rain is in the forecast with high temperatures around 56 degrees. Kate Butler is here to talk about the day that's always sunny here, the 4th of July.
That's right. It's going to be sunny, right, Jeff? We're going to bring it on. November in June is just ridiculous.
June gloom, that's what they call it down in Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly. My sister lives in San Diego. It's like, oh, we're really suffering here. We're having June gloom. I'm like, you don't even know what June gloom is. Well, yes, Jeff, I'm here to tell everyone about what UAS has in store for the Juneau 4th of July parade. And we're pretty excited about it this year. We've got a flatbed truck from our facilities department. And speaking of our facilities department that works on design and development and maintenance of our grounds at UAS, Pua Manu, who is one of our designers and planners for UAS, is also a local artist.
And she and some neighbors here in town have painted one of the whale's tails that are part of the fundraiser for the Whale Project that Kathy Ruddy spearheaded. So we'll have a beautiful whale's tail decorating our flatbed truck. And also, we're very excited to announce this year that our Alaskapella a cappella student singing group will be gracing the float and singing.
Will they be painting the whale at the same time?
The whale will be painted.
So it's not, they're not painting it on the boat, on the float itself?
No. But I also just want to put the word out to just let everybody, listeners know that, you know, this is what's coming from UAS. But also, if you are a UAS alumni or a student or a staff member, faculty member, some people who are associated with the university are out of town in the summer, or I should say just not on campus in the summer. But the word is out. If you want to join the UAS contingent, you are more than welcome, and just show up at the staging area, which we call the Plywood Palace parking lot. Are we still calling it that? A Department of Labor parking lot near Cycle Alaska on the corner there, just by the foot of the Douglas Bridge.
It goes by many names, Kate.
Okay. I guess that's the way I would describe it. And we're going to meet around 9:30 or so. The parade starts at 11. And if you do participate, you will be the lucky holder and keeper of a Spike Whale Southeast t-shirt. And this year we have Spike kind of decked out as a founding father whale, if you will. He's going to be red, white, and blue, and so it's kind of a cool image of Spike on the shirt.
Spike Washington.
Something like that, yeah. There you go. Spike Washington. Yeah.
So people should meet at what time?
About 9:30. Yeah, right there at the staging area.
The parade starts at 11 o'clock.
Yep. So that's kind of the big UAS announcement for Juneau 4th of July. And if you have any questions about that, you can email me or call me at the university. And probably my number is 796-6530, 796-6530. Or if you want to figure out my email and stuff, just go to the UAS website, uas.alaska.edu, and we have a search mechanism right on the site there. You can kind of put my name in, and you can find me as far as my email and stuff.
All right, Katie Plus, are you have some news about enrollment?
Yes, I do have some news about enrollment days. Jeff, we're coming up on the last two enrollment days of the enrollment day season. Those will be Wednesday, July 11th, and Wednesday, August 1st. Now, enrollment day, for those of you who aren't familiar, is kind of a really cool thing that's been developed at UAS, and that's an opportunity if you are going to be registering and enrolling in classes this fall to finish all of your admissions, registration, and financial aid requirements kind of in one fell swoop. You show up, you can complete you meet with an advisor who's on hand right there. You can complete admissions requirements, take placement tests, get some academic advising, explore classes. You can get your ID card, learn about financial aid, learn about student housing if you are interested in being in student housing this fall. Initiate some disability services if you need those. So it's kind of a cool opportunity, enrollment day, Jeff. And again, this will be Wednesday, July 11th on the Auk Lake campus from noon to 6, and Wednesday, August 1st on the Auk Lake campus from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you have any questions about that, you can call the Student Resource Center at 796-6000. Again, that's 796-6000.
All right, Katie Buzzler, thank you for coming in. Anything you'd like to add?
Happy 4th of July, everybody, and I think if we all meditate towards it, the sun will appear.
I'm thinking positive.
Thank you, Jeff. We need it.
Get ready. Robots the size of blood cells, Earth-like planets outside the solar system.
Science fiction?
No, science faction. Join us, Sep Shostak and
Molly Bentley and
KTOO, each Friday night at 8 for Big Picture Science.
Big Picture Science steps back to get the wide-angle view on science and technology from where they've been to where they're headed.
So think big. Big Picture Science. You'll find it here on KTOO FM in Juneau each Friday night at 8.
KTOO FM.
Thank you.
Of Nicole Edwards, one of the featured performers this year at the Southeast Alaska State Fair in Haines, scheduled for July 26th to 29th. In the studio now to talk about the fair and other things is Beth Bolander. Thank you very much for coming on the station, Beth.
No, thanks for having me.
So you're the entertainment coordinator for the fair this year.
I am.
What kind of magic do we have?
Oh, it's going to be great magic. As you just heard, Nicole Edwards, she's amazing. She's going to be on Thursday. We've got little Emily Ross, who won the Southeast Got Talent show last year, that's going to be performing on the main stage on Thursday. And, of course, we have the Southeast Got Talent show again on Thursday, the 26th. We've got this amazing aerial artist group coming from Portland, Oregon, Pendulum Aerial Arts. They suspend from the Payson Pavilion on silk ribbons and hoops and do all sorts of amazing feats of strength and art. We've got the Clinton Fearon and the Boogie Brown Band from Seattle coming, reggae. It's going to be roots rock reggae, which I'm really excited about. He's really excited. He's been to Alaska before, I think up to Seward. He's excited to do a Southeast adventure. Whiskey Dicks from Vancouver, B.C., they're going to be performing on Friday and Saturday nights. Eric McFadden Trio, he's pretty amazing guitar player. A blues rock musician from, I think he resides in San Francisco, but he just travels all the time. His bass player is James Wheaton from Tom Waits, which actually I think he's not going to be able to make it this year, but he's got another amazing bassist coming with him, and then his drummer is actually the drummer from Cake. So pretty outstanding headliners for Friday night, the 27th of July.
And that's just Friday?
That's just Friday, yeah. So, and then mixed in there, we have tons of amazing local artists, you know, the Windy Valley Boys, the Fish Pickers, We've got a country artist group coming from Texas, the Bill Hearn Trio, kind of old school country, which will be great for people, country lovers. Marion Call, local artist here, but she also travels around. She's a Southeast favorite, Alaska favorite. So that's just Friday. And then Saturday is just going to be huge. It's going to be off the charts. We've got the Chilkat Dancers are going to perform on the stage after the parade on Saturday morning. And we've got that night we've also got Pendulum Aerial Arts happening again for a second showing. And we also this year are going to do a wearable arts. It's not a contest. It's more of just a review of some of the costumes that have won in the past. We've got some Ketchikan costumes, some Juno wearable arts entries from previous years that are going to come up and be displayed. Well, people are going to be wearing them. It's going to be fun. And then new entries. So that'll be kind of a fun new thing for the Haynes Fair. Local artist Byron McGinnis, repeating again this year, Traveler. They were up in the Haynes Fair last year. They're like an ethnic fusion rock band with this mad fiddle player who's amazing. He's got just amazing energy. And people were like, they're coming back. And so, of course, I booked them again. So they're going to be playing on Saturday nights. People will be really excited about that. We've got the Bad Tenants, who are a hip-hop group from Bellingham, and they got a little twist on their hip-hop. They've got a banjo in their group, so that's going to be an interesting little twist. Larry and his Flask, I'm really excited about this group. They're from Redmond, Oregon. They are just a high-energy, bluegrass, ska-type band that is just going to rock Haynes' socks off. They're going to be very danceable, lots of energy. They've toured with the Dropkick Murphys. They have I think they're going to travel with the Golgo Bardello this after the fair. It's pretty amazing. They're on their Moose Knuckles and Belt Buckles Canadian tour, and they're going to stop in Haynes during that tour. So we're really excited to host them this year. And then Sunday, the 29th, we've got gospel music at like 12:30. We've got local Juno artist George Kruhar. Skagway artist Bramble, and then I'm really excited about this group, Kaya Hartwood. They're from Austin, Texas. She contacted me and said, hey, we're traveling through Haynes. Do you have any extra spots for us? And I really didn't. I said, geez, I just have one spot left on Sunday. She's like, I'll take it. So we're really so fortunate to have such an amazing artist performing on Sunday. It's going to make Sunday a huge day. So really, all 4 days are just jam-packed full of amazing entertainment on the main stage. And then we also have the smaller Klondike stage down in Dalton City that is just going to have amazing local talent playing all day long on all 4 days.
And for people who haven't been, can you paint me a radio picture of the fair?
The fair is located in beautiful Haynes, Alaska. And hopefully it won't be raining. We're hoping that the rain's just, you know, getting itself out of the way now so we can have beautiful sunny weather. But you come up to the fairgrounds, and there's the little White Fang movie set with Dalton City, and there's the Haynes Brewing Company is there and, like, some little shops. And then the fairgrounds where the main stage and Harriet Hall and the barn are there. So we have a little petting zoo in the barn, and the exhibit hall is in Harriet Hall so people can walk through there. And there's amazing photography and quilts and knitting projects and woodworking projects and kids' school projects that they enter, you know, for ribbons. And there'll be demonstration tables. Donna Contati is going to do portrait pictures during the fair, which is going to be pretty amazing. She's an amazing artist. We're going to have more artist demonstrations down in Dalton City at a little art gallery down there. What else is there? There's the lots of stuff for kids. Besides the petting zoo, we've got the vintage merry-go-round and, you know, the antique carousel, the Ferris wheel, the train, the bounce house, a bungee run, giant inflatable obstacle course. There's always going to be lots of carnival games and free crafts and activities in the kids' portion of the zone over there by the merry-go-round and that. Like I said, again, animals in McPherson Barn, lots of great food, lots of vendor shopping, and then lots of amazing talent and exhibits to view.
Is there going to be a log rolling contest?
There'll be the logging show on Saturday, and also having the Fisherman's Rodeo is also on Saturday down in Dalton City, the Grand Parade on Saturday morning. the Guy Hoffman Memorial Horseshoe Tournament. There's several runs. Actually, there's a kind of a cool run this year. It's called the Fair Like There's No Tomorrow Zombie Adventure Run. So this is a new thing, and they're going to have that Friday at 4, and there's actually going to be undead chasing you while you're running. So that'll be kind of fun. And there's also the annual Haynes Hustle 5K, 10K, and the Trail Half Marathon on Saturday morning. So lots of things to do for all ages, for anybody. You know, the entertainment, I feel, has really broad enough to entertain everybody. There's something for everybody there.
Want to talk about the Harriet Hall exhibit area?
Yeah, so this year we're really trying to rally Juneau people to get more entries in, because it's kind of been a poor showing. I think that in the previous years we've had more entries from Gus Davis than we have had from Juneau. So I actually work down here 1 week on, 1 week off, and I live up in Haines. So I have volunteered my services to pick up projects. If you have anything you want to enter in the fair, you can contact myself, and I can get it up to the fair and enter it if you're not going to be able to get up there in time to get your entry in.
What kind of things are we talking about?
So knitting projects, sewing projects, quilts, photography, paintings, kids' art projects, kids' scouting projects, woodworking projects. There's all sorts of stuff. There's all sorts of departments that are available for people to enter things.
How do people get tickets, and how much are they?
Well, you can go online to www.seekfair.org and get more information about that. You can get a four-day pass for $40. Children under 5 years are free. Ages 6 to 12 are $6 per day. And then Thursday tickets and Sunday tickets are $10. And then Friday and Saturday are $15 each if you just buy it by the day. A four-day pass for $40 is a huge deal. Like, I've been to many music festivals, and I've paid hundreds of dollars to watch this many bands before. So I think really not only are you getting the amazing entertainment for $40, but you're also getting all the extra stuff that goes along with the fair, like all the kids' workshops and the exhibit hall and all the vendors and the food and the fisherman's rodeo and the logging show and all those extra things that go along with it. So it's really a good deal. So you can go online, or you can call the fair and charge it over the phone with Jess, and that number is 907-766-2476.
What about lodging? Where do people stay?
Well, that's a good question.
I know from personal experience, it's very intense. They stay in people's houses.
Yeah. Lodging is really hard this year. We've had a motel actually shut down this year up in Haines. So it's going to be really tight. But if you have any friends or family that live up there, be super sweet and see if you can get a piece of real estate in their yard and pop a tent up. There's also, I believe, going to be free camping in Clinkett Park, which is located right downtown. It's first come, first serve, but it's a pretty large park, and I think that there'll be plenty of room there. There's plenty of state parks around, out Lutac Road, out past the ferry terminal, out Mud Bay Road. There's another campground out that way. There's Portage Cove Campground located near downtown. Bicycle's a good idea to get around, and you can take those on the ferry. And, of course, the ferry is the mode of transport for a lot of the Juneau people to get up to Haines, and walk-on tickets are only like $37 one way. It's pretty cheap. I'm not sure how much extra it is for a bicycle. And I had some friends that actually kayaked up last year, so that's kind of a fun way to get up if the weather's nice. People from, you know, up north are driving down with their RVs and things of that nature. There are a couple RV parks there, but they're probably getting full, so if you haven't made a reservation yet, you should probably get on that.
A lot of stuff going on at the Southeast Alaska State Fair, July 26th through the 29th in beautiful Haines, Alaska.
Yeah, thank you.
If you need more information, what's the website again?
So it's www.seekfair.org. And my name is Beth Bolander, and if they want to contact me to enter exhibits, they can call me on my cell phone at 503-807-9357, or they can email me at seek.fair.entertainment@gmail.com.
And Beth, thank you very much for coming in on the station today. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, I think we covered most of it.
And there's a little bit of music from Marion Cull, who will be performing at this year's Southeast Alaska State Fair.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squareitude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek without the horn-rimmed glasses and knee-high argyle socks. But nerdery is more than wardrobe deep, and I'm a nerd down in my heart, and that's where nerdhood rocks. I'm better acquainted than a good girl ought to be with Aragorn and Yosef Bridge and Worf and Hal and Han. But you don't really know me, and my culture don't control me, so don't you pigeonhole me, cause my phaser's set to stun. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before I could have heard that bookish girl should look and act a certain way. And I'll still be a geek when I am utterly antique, because I do not care what normal people say. My superpower's draining fun from parties, but if I am a misfit, then I'm in good company with Auden, Austin, Hawking, Galileo, and Van Gogh, and countless other weirdos whom you really ought to know. So stow your expectations, no, I won't fix your PC, and I don't mind being underrated or ignored. The world is much too interesting to entertain ennui, and I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that fair and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I'll still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic, because I don't require approval. In Oddfort, Dequan's dance groove swept the country, and suddenly old moon boots were Italian haute couture. Time magazine reported that our time had finally come. I guess they didn't know that we already ran the world. Oh, I am.
Performing live this year at the Southeast Alaska State Fair, July 26th through the 29th. If you need more information on that, check them out on their website. On the phone with me now, calling from beautiful Haines, Alaska, is beautiful John Hunt, otherwise known as Kid Burfel, the music coordinator for the second annual 4th of July Music Festival in Haines. John, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Well, thanks for calling, Jeff. Hello, Juno, and I appreciate the time to talk about the festival. It is next Wednesday, of course, on the 4th of July, and we have 7 different bands that are performing. It's from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. in the Fort Seward Parade Grounds. It's in historic Fort Seward, and for those people in Juneau that would like to come up, the parade grounds is surrounded by bed and breakfasts and hotels and campgrounds, and so there's all sorts of, plus your friends are here, and so there's all sorts of places to stay once you get here. The parade grounds is in the center of the old Fort Seward, and there's a tribal house there, and the bands will be right behind the tribal house, and the crowd will be out on the lawn. We've got tents there if you need to get out of the sun. And, of course, it's not going to do anything but be sunny on the 4th of July here in Haines. We've got everything from rock and roll to country and western. We've got some old-timey music. We've got some swing, straight-ahead rock and roll. Boy, all kinds of bands a lot of people have heard of. Heidi Ho's have been playing at the Southeast State Fair for years. The Pimentos are regrouping for this. The Fish Pickers, Swing Set, who have played in Juneau the last few years. Nat King Kong is a band from Skagway that's coming over. And then a new band that just formed in Haines this last winter, Julia Scott and the Perpetual Beer Run, or Julia and the PBRs. So it's $8 per person, and it's 8 hours long, so it's only $1 an hour if you want to look at it that way. If you get here early, the parade is at 10, and then over at Clinton Park in downtown is, oh, man, there's sack races and three-legged races and a money toss and hot dogs and hamburgers. That all winds up at 2, and then the music festival starts at 3 o'clock and goes till 11, followed by the fireworks.
How about the ferry schedule? How is that cooperating this year?
You know, there's ferries both there's ferries every day coming up, and there's ferries every day going back, I believe. I think it isn't until next Sunday that there might be a snafu, but there's also land for sale.
Land for sale?
Yeah, if people decide they want to stay, you can just you can be in a band at the third annual.
All right.
Festival.
How do you select the groups?
You know, all of them are from Haines except for Nat King Kong coming over from Skagway, and a few of them played at the first 4th of July Music Festival last year, and others came and heard it, and they called up and said, we want to be a part of this. Oh, and I should say that it's the proceeds of the music festival are going to public radio station KHNS here in Haines, which is just winding up its fundraiser today. And so we're going to be extending that by giving them some money from people that come to listen to this great music.
All right, Kid Burple, thank you very much for being on the air with us today. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I think that's it. Again, it's 4th of July, Wednesday this coming week, and it's from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Fort Seward Fairgrounds in Haines. Come on up.
If people need more information, is there a website or a Facebook page?
Let's see. There is, you can go to the Haines Chamber of Commerce website, and it's on their website.
All right, John, thank you very much for being on the air with us today.
Thank you. See you next week.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 29th of June, 2012. It's the birthday of Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, born in Lyon, France, in 1900, author of The Little Prince and a couple of best-selling novels, both about flying. Saint-Exupéry was a famous aviator. The novels were Southern Mail and Night Flight. It was on this day, 1956, President Eisenhower signed the Federal Highway Act, which established the interstate highway system. There had been plans for it ever since World War I, when the Army decided that the condition of national roads needed to be improved for the purpose of national defense. In 1938, President Roosevelt drew up a map of superhighways. There was a model of one demonstrated at the New York World's Fair of 1939. As a general in World War II, President Eisenhower had been impressed by Germany's Autobahn system, and so he pushed through the interstate highway system. It was the largest public works project in American history. It took longer than they expected. It took 35 years. Instead of 12, and it cost about three times as much as they had initially budgeted. But it was done. Interstate 80, built across the country from New York City to San Francisco. It was a great boon for the hotel chains and fast food outlets. And it was a great boon for the suburbs as well. It was not necessarily good for American literature. John Steinbeck, in his book Travels with Charlie, complained about the interstate, how you were bound to the wheel and your eyes to the car ahead and to the rearview mirror, and you don't see the countryside around you. Jack Kerouac wrote On the Road in 1951, and by the time it was published, 1957, construction had begun on the interstates. Kerouac said years later, "You can't do what I did anymore." And in his book Blue Highways, William Least Heat Moon wrote, "Life doesn't happen along interstates. It's against the law." Here's a poem for today by Ted Kooser. So This Is Nebraska. The gravel road rides with a slow gallop over the fields, the telephone line streaming behind, its billow of dust full of the sparks of red-winged blackbirds. On either side, those dear old ladies, the loosening barns, their little windows dulled by cataracts of hay and cobwebs, hide broken tractors under their skirts. So this is Nebraska. A Sunday afternoon, July, driving along with your hand out, squeezing the air, a meadow lark waiting on every post. Behind a shelter belt of cedars, top deep in hollyhocks, pollen and bees, a pickup kicks its fenders off and settles back to read the clouds. You feel like that. You feel like letting your tires go flat, like letting the mice build a nest in your muffler, like being no more than a truck in the weeds, clucking with chickens or sticky with honey or holding a skinny old man in your lap while he watches the road, waiting for someone to wave to. You feel like waving. You feel like stopping the car and dancing around on the road. You wave instead and leave your hand out, gliding lark-like over the wheat, over the houses. So This is Nebraska by Ted Kooser from his collection Sure Signs, New and Selected Poems, published by University of Pittsburgh Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, iPad users can download the three most recent issues of Poetry Magazine, celebrating its centennial in 2012 at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Written by Holly Vanderhaar, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Some exciting changes are coming to public TV in Southeast Alaska. On July 1st, KTOO will become part of a new service called Alaska Public Television. We will still offer all the great PBS programs and we'll add a brand new channel called Create, featuring cooking, arts and crafts, travel, and home improvement programs from public television. For more information, visit KTOO.org and check out the new program schedules for PBS, Create, and 360 North.
Time is 3:54. You are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. And featuring this afternoon music from Haines, Alaska, here's some music that is going to be appearing in Haines, Alaska from Larry and his Flask.
I'm clinging to the fabric of a life that's lost, the large unnecessary cost of death. But underneath the shades of lonely, I can mend. But I can't. What's that?
360-357, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sursuna at 91.9. An excursion into the Nicey Strait, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. We're also live on the air at www.ktuo.org. Next Monday at 3 o'clock on a Juneau afternoon, Chris Taylor will be here to highlight art classes in July at the campus. We'll also learn about upcoming sewing classes for kids with guests Annette Coggins of Raintree Quilting. Ed Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music and More next Monday at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, showers, patchy fog, low temperatures around 48 degrees, southeast winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Forecast for Saturday, showers, patchy fog in the afternoon, in the morning, high temperatures around 54 degrees. Sunday looks like showers are likely. Monday through Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies with high temperatures around 62 degrees. Thank you for tuning into Juneau Afternoon today. Have a great weekend. Returning to the music of Larry and the Flask. During the Southeast Alaska State Fair, July 26th through the 29th this year at Haines.
Fest 2012 at the Twisted Fish, the night of July 3rd. Watch the fireworks from the best spot in Juneau with a cold beverage in your hand.
We'll have live bluegrass music from the Sean McCole Trio, and then
the File Jerks featuring Shorthand and Astronomer.
All door proceeds go to KXLL.
It's the party of the summer. Everyone there is
a true American.
Us for 2012. We need to focus on flipping the Senate and getting a new conservative majority, and we need to beat Obama.
What's next for conservative activists now that the Supreme Court has ruled on the health care debate?
It's Friday, June 29th, and this is All Things Considered.